I know that I'm on the right track. I appreciate God's confirmation. Title of my message is, What Was That Again? And I get a devotion every Sunday from a pastor out of Florida. And one of the comments that he was talking about was, we sometimes hear, but we're not listening. Anybody ever do that? And everybody said, huh? Well, I think that we have overlooked the blessings of God. I don't know if you realize it or not, but this message maybe get on your toes a little bit, but at the same time, we're missing our promotion. We're satisfied with being a janitor when God's called you to be a king's kid. We're satisfied with just getting by when God said you can eat at my table. You can sit at my table. And so many times the reason that is happening in our lives is because we're not listening. We're not really perceiving what God's telling us. He wants to give you that promotion. He has already done that, but we haven't accepted it. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 22 through 25. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. God's Word is so precious. As you open it up and it comes to life. And it's for you. It comes to life for you. James said, "Be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and then straightway he forgets what manner of man he was, or what he has been called into. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I'll go back just a few words. But a doer of the work, this man is blessed in his deed. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Someone else put it like this, we do not merely listen to the Word of God. And if we do that, we just deceive ourselves if we're not really listening, we just hear. But we must also do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man that looks in the mirror at his face. And after he looks at himself, he goes away and immediately he forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, somebody says continues, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed. I mean, wants to be blessed. Amen. He will be blessed of what he does. How many times have you heard someone say, what was that again? Come on. What was that again? Amen. And when you know good and well, they weren't paying attention the second time no more than they were the first time. Amen. As a matter of fact, you know for sure you've done it yourself. You're just trying to appease that person. Your spouse says something to you and you say, yes, that's right. And you're scared to death. They're going to say, what did I say? We ourselves have a hard time concentrating at times. And still we're not paying attention of what's being said, let alone making any application to that word to our life. So what the Word of God is saying, we hear, but we're not listening. We hear, but just don't act on God's Word according to the principles of our life. Church, understand this message, this Word is for your benefit. I better say that again. This Word, this message is for your benefit. And usually when somebody's speaking to you, it's for your benefit. And we hear, but we're not listening. We don't act upon the Word of God according to its principles and what it has for our lives. We observe briefly, quickly forgetting who we are and the purpose that we serve. Do you really want to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ or the church here at Trinity? Or do you just want to play a role? We want to be seen occasionally, but not committed. And as far as God's Word, we refuse to admit it is applicable to every aspect of our lives. Hey, you've been out as long as I have, so preach with me here, okay? Okay? Okay, thank you. If you don't, I may go ahead and preach both messages. I wonder, we often allow our children to forget what we've told them. We don't follow up. And the sad part about it is, it no longer benefits their interests. I wonder if we use the term a lot, well, I just forgot. And I wonder if we let our kids buy with the same thing. Hey, hang on, it'll get better. Okay? I don't want to be just a hearer, but I want to listen to what God has to say and let His Word become applicable to my life. I wonder today, church, I wonder today, with all the circumstances going on around about us, I wonder what it'll take for us to see for what Jesus has seen in us and the role He has designed for our lives. Hey, that's deep. You need to grab a hold of that. I don't think that I've really, really scratched the surface here this morning to let you know that this Word is a benefit for you. This Word is applicable to your life. This Word brings you into a place of relationship with Jesus Christ that is unmatchable to any relationship in the whole wide world. It don't matter who you know or what you know. If you don't know Jesus, you're not really going anywhere. What is it going to take? What's it going to take for us to see what Jesus sees in us? What He has designed us for? What He has paid the price for us for? What's it going to take for us to realize that we've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ? We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been ushered in and grafted in to the family of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are now heirs and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. I wonder what it's going to take till we really get a hold of that. What will it take to bring us to our knees and totally surrender our will and apply what we've heard to God's Word and obey it? It is for us. Chris and Cammie sings a song sometimes that goes like this. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert. to get a hold of me. In almost every situation, when one gets hurt on their job or one gets in trouble, it's because they have not paid attention to what has been said to them or instructions that have been given. And most of the time in our spiritual lives, the reason we can't keep the victory is because we're not paying attention to what has been instructed to us. So what's it going to take, church? I don't know if you realize it or not, but God spoke to my heart concerning this message. And it's a burning on the inside. And I have a burden that we as a child of God can grasp a hold of what God has for us. And how He has redeemed us. And how He has designed us. And how He has predestined us to serve Him and to work for Him and to worship Him. So what's it going to take for us to allow Jesus to get our attention, for us to do our part, where we can see ourselves for who we really are, and how Christ has invested in us? You realize Christ has invested in you? No. Do you realize Christ has invested in you? And how much His Heavenly Father has invested in you and everything, bankrupt in heaven to bring you a Savior, His only begotten Son. Christ has invested in us to become what He desires for us to be. We inhibit our ability sometimes because we're not paying attention. Can I share with you for just a few moments of some of the dilemmas, or should I say the situations that folks have faced throughout the Word of God that has helped them see themselves for who they really are, and for those that have committed to crying out to God for the solution of what they are to become? How many wants to be what God wants you to be? I mean really way down deep inside. We're not worried about the cost. We're not worried about where it's going to take us. We just want to be what God wants us to be. Have we got there yet? Well, if we haven't, that's what I'm preaching about today. I want to get there, and I want to help you get there. And some of you saying, well, I may not want to get there. Well, you probably won't get there then. But I want to put something inside of you today to help you understand and realize that God has invested in you that no one else has given an investment like He has for you. King David was a man, the Bible says, it was after God's own heart. And yet he made blunder after blunder after blunder after blunder. Find in 2 Samuel chapter 11, I'm not going to read it all, but I just kind of help you understand, as you know the story very well, that he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Hello. You all understand how important that is? We can be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it'll cost us. Second thing I've seen in David's life, he had too much idle time on his hands. Hello? He had no business being where he was, when he was, because he had too much idleness. When idleness takes place, negativity begins to work in our hearts and our minds, begins to work in our lives, and we allow things to grow that shouldn't be growing. We allow things to produce that shouldn't be producing. And David found himself in a situation where he inquired of a woman that was not his to inquire of nor possess. There's things in your life that may be pretty, but they ain't yours to possess. There may be things that come your way that you have no reason to be a part of, because they will do nothing but bring you heartache and sadness. David sent for her. She become pregnant with his child. And because of that, David had to commit another sin to cover up the first sin. by putting her husband Uriah at the front of the line of fire so that more than likely he would be killed. But it was just a happy chance that David put Uriah there. But you see, he was guilty just the same because he had first been in the wrong place at the wrong time with an idle mind. There's times in our lives that we get ourselves in a situation like David did, that we have to kind of go behind the curtain to make sure that the first sin was covered up so we won't look so bad. And that's exactly what David did. And he got himself in deeper trouble with Uriah being killed. And the Bible says that it came to pass in the morning, 2 Samuel chapter 11, that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent to the hand of Uriah. And he wrote the letter saying, set Uriah in the front of the hottest of battle and retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die. Have you ever been guilty setting someone up for failure, even though all you had to do was just open the door? Are you still with me?
Amen.
Now, there is a punchline at the bottom of this. Have you ever been guilty setting someone up for failure, even though all you have done is just open the door? And my second part of that, how many times have we done our kids that way? And then revelation comes. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 1. Prophet Nathan knocks on David's door. And the Lord said unto Nathan, and the Lord said, sent Nathan unto David. And he came to him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little lamb, ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him, with his children. It did eat his own meat, drink his own from his own cup, lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock, of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that which come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it, and the man that was come to him. David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, and as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. This is probably one of the closest stories in the Bible that connects to me, because when I was about 10, 11, 12 years old, Dad got me a little lamb. And that lamb followed me around the yard and followed me around the farm like a puppy dog did. And that little lamb called Molly was my buddy. Hello? Are you listening to me? And there better not nobody be messing with Molly, Brother Rodney. Nobody mess with Molly. I'm here to tell you there's things in your life you need to hold dear, and you don't need to let nobody be messing with it. Come on, somebody. I don't think I'm that far off. There's things in our life that we need to hold dear, and we don't need to let nobody mess with it, and we don't need to be jeopardizing it. David said, this man must surely die, and he shall restore the land fullfold because he has done this thing, because he has no pity. I want you to know, you talk about a wake-up call. You talk about somebody slapping you upside the head. There is nothing could have hurt David any worse than the words that Nathan said when he looked at David square in the eye and he said, you're the man, buddy. You're the man. There's times in our life that we have heard and we know what God's saying to us, and we neglect it and we pass it off, and somewhere down the line, whether an evangelist or through a song or whatever it may be, the preacher looks at us and says, you're the man, you're the situation, and only you are the one that's going to be able to take care of it. So I ask you, that day when David heard the words from Nathan, said, David, you're the man. You're the one that's done this thing. I wonder what it was like for him and the shock that it was for him when David saw himself for the first time in the last several months as the man in the mirror that had just blew it. That wasn't listening. You see, that was David's problem. He hadn't been listening. That was David's problem from when he was on the top of the house. He hadn't been listening, hadn't been observing. He heard, but he wasn't listening. David was a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
We understand and know that the child that Bathsheba bore David got sick and eventually died. Howbeit, because by this deed thou shalt give an occasion to thy enemy and of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born to thee shall surely die. I hope and pray here today that it doesn't take the death of a child. I hope and pray today that it doesn't get us to a place that we're on our deathbed before we see ourselves in the mirror. I hope and pray beyond all means that we understand and comprehend what God has done for us and the investment He has for us, that we see ourselves clearly and we don't forget who we are, what we are. One of the biggest situations and obstacles in the church world today is we fail to realize that we are a child of God. We don't know who we are in Christ. Amen. And mainly because we're not listening.
Amen.
Mainly because we're not listening. I will tell you, the mercy and the grace of God is beyond our comprehension. Understanding that in 2 Samuel chapter 18, because of David's lethargy, because of his sin, because of his inability to pay attention, we find that his son Absalom himself found himself in rebellion against Israel, against his own dad. I'm here to tell you today, church, that we need to pay attention to what the voice of God is saying to us in our hearts and our lives today. And we find that Absalom, a young man, and after David, from his loins, it was Absalom that rebelled against David and rebelled against Jerusalem and rebelled against Israel. And it was David that told Joab and the rest of them, don't you touch that young man Absalom. And yet because of the rebellion, Joab and the rest of his men was determined to bring justice to what had been going on and what had been said. And we find in 18th chapter of 2 Samuel chapter 9, and Absalom met the servant of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick broth of the great oak, and caught his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule was under him and went away. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, I saw Absalom hanging in an oak. Pardon me, can I have a drink of water? You know, I told you that David was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Yes, I did. He had too much idle time on his hand. You know what Absalom's problems was? He was caught hanging around. Hey, it's a message here. Here to tell you. You don't want to be caught hanging around the wrong places. It'll cost you. It'll cost you. Absalom was a king's kid. Absalom could have had the best of David's table. I don't know if he caught hanging around when I should have been listening. When I should have been paying attention. I want to observe the goodness. We just got through saying the goodness and the graciousness of God. We just got through saying all the goodness of God. I don't want to be hanging around. I don't want to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. I don't want to miss what God has for me. I don't want to miss it. 10 young men that bared Joab's armor compassed Absalom and slew him. But listen, I want to assure you, it doesn't matter how many mistakes we've made in the past, there's always a place that we can stand before God's mirror and say, God, will you help me pay attention? There is restoration. There is hope. In this hour that we're living in, never has there ever been a time, and I'm sure that pastors and preachers of the past could say the same thing, but we are living in such critical times. We're living in critical times, church. If you're ever going to see yourself through the eyes of God, you better be paying attention now. David, a man after God's own heart. After all of that, finally got to a place that he could see himself and was able to repent with a broken and a contrite heart and a broken and contrite spirit. For it's recorded in Psalms chapter 51, he said, have mercy upon me, O God. I don't know about you, but when I read this passage of Scripture, I see David's heart rent. I see him in the bedroom somewhere crying out to God. God, I've seen myself in the mirror, and it wasn't a pretty sight, but I pray that you'll rejuvenate me, revive me. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I have acknowledged my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And thou mightest be justified when thou speak and clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou desirest truth in my inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Listen, he knows when you go in, he knows when you come out. He knows when you get up in the morning, he knows when you lay down on your bed in the evening. Amen. God knows. David said, Lord, would you purge me with hyssop? And I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy and gladness, and the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. David had come clean with God, seen himself for who he was in that spiritual mirror, and recognized and realized that he needed God as Savior. Oh, for the goodness of God. I said, oh, for the goodness of God. One other circumstance that I want to tell you about was found in the book of Job and his unimaginable predicament that he found himself in. Done nothing to deserve what he experienced. And yet, we find that the tests that came to Job help him to see himself even more clearly. Hello? The tests that Job done found himself, seeing himself even more clearly. When it goes through that chapter, and one circumstance right after another, one devastation right after another, come to him, and it says, and Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came into this world, naked I shall return. Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And verse 22 says, in all of this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I wonder if we're a place in our life that regardless of the circumstance that comes our way, we can look to God and say, God, I know you're just, and I know everything is going to turn out all right. Have we seen ourselves as God sees us? For you see, it was Satan that came to God and said, "Have you considered?" God said, "Have you considered to Satan, my servant Job?" He said, "Man, you've got a hedge built all around about him." There's times in our life that we face circumstances and we face difficulties just for God to help us gain strength and get us to a place to where He wants us. He said, "Well, I don't know if I want to go there." God knows what's best for you. He'll keep you. He'll secure you. He's got a destiny for you. And then we know that Satan came after destroying everything that Job had. Satan came to Job and put boils on him. And Job was in a miserable state. I wonder how far we have to go till we get to a place. Are we listening? Are we listening? Job's conclusion to the whole matter of his life, his whole being and his whole existence is found in the 15th verse of the 13th chapter. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain my own way before him. You say, "But I'm not Job." No, we're not. But God's promised He'd never put anything on you greater than you couldn't handle. We also sing a song that goes something like, "If he didn't think I could take it, He'd never let me or make me go through it." And all of this, Job's seen and all this that and he was or ever hoped to be was in God's hands. Was in God's hands. They say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm almost finished. But I ain't through. The last thing I want to bring to you is when the disciples come face to face with their own mortality. Hello? When the disciples themselves came to face, and I want you to pay very close attention to the word disciples, when they came face to face with their own mortality and calling, their mortality and their calling, caught in by a furious storm on the Sea of Galilee. What storm are you experiencing today? Can I tell you, regardless of how big it is or how fierce it may seem, it ain't nothing God can't take care of. Can I slow down for about 5 or 10 minutes, okay? And then I'll conclude this message. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41, "In the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." Jesus telling his disciples, "Let us pass over to the other side." "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship." Now there's something very unique that caught my attention in this nest, in the latter part of that 36th verse. And it says, "And there were also with him other little ships." Oh, you ain't got it yet, but you will. Jesus and his disciples got in the ship. And around them was more littler ships, little boats. So I ask you today, who's following you and who's watching? You ain't out on the sea by yourself. Hey, I'll tell you what. That'd preach. Okay, some other day, some other time. But I'm just here to tell you, we miss the little ships that are round about us. We're so worried about ourselves that we can't be what God wants us to be as a disciple. We don't have time to worry about anybody else because all we're worried about is ourselves. Huh? Come on, somebody. I'll tell you what, I read that and then I had to read it again and then I had to read it again and I had to read it again. And while they was in the ship, there was also other little ships around about them. You know what, one of the first things that come to my mind are kids. We sometimes get so preoccupied. We're in our own little ship and we expect our kids to sail themselves. There's a lot of little other ships around about us. Hello? I'm in my ship, but you're in your ship. You're in your ship. You're in your little boat. And you're all around us. We're all in this thing together. Hey, listen. Different boats, same sea. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. I don't know how big the ship was that they were sailing in, probably pretty good size. But when we went to Israel, several of us was on that boat going across the Sea of Galilee. It was a pretty good size boat. I didn't really fear anything. Of course, I didn't see no thunder or lightning either. Makes a lot of difference when you see thunder and lightning, huh? Amen. Rose a great storm. Waves beat upon the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, carest not that we perish? Listen, there's times in your life, regardless how difficult it may be, you've got to face your fears experiencing that he's the one on the ship. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? Have you no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this? Even the winds and the seas obey him. Okay, I'm getting ready to conclude. You need to listen to this, okay? All acts finishing. The disciples, after being taught and mentored by Jesus for however many years it was, reached a point where they were promoted from disciple, being a student, disciple is a student, to an apostle, which means to be sent. We have missed our calling because we have not been paying attention or listening, because God has brought us to a place through His Son Jesus Christ that we need to graduate from disciple to an apostle, because we need to be doing the work of the Lord in the hour in which we're living. Hey, that's gooder than grits and greater than gravy. Grab a hold of that. Came to pass in those days that they went out into the mountain to pray, and continued to pray by all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called to his disciples, and to them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. For the lack of time, as I can done tell, some of you is getting chicken fever. For the lack of time, for the point of your study, the apostles done so much more for the kingdom after Christ's death and resurrection than they ever did before as disciples. Hello? Think about it. Jesus said, These things shall you do and greater, because I go to my Father. As a matter of fact, the book of Luke is filled with the miracles of Christ and could be titled the Acts of Christ, while the book of Acts could be labeled as the Acts of the Apostles. With each of them coming to grips after Christ's death, facing their destiny and becoming the thriving force of Christianity, are we ready to answer the call? Hello, somebody. Every one of them, as Christ was being taken to the cross, every one of them forsook him. But in their dilemma, they had to face who they was. They had to find a spiritual mirror and realize that they was called. Christ had invested in them as a disciple and now as an apostle. I'm going to take my rightful position in the kingdom of God. with each of them coming to grips with Christ's death, facing their destiny and becoming the thriving force of Christianity. Listen, God's called us to be the salt of the earth. He's called us to be the light of the world. You are a child of God. Let us answer the call. Chris, would you and Tammy come to the piano? I wonder, in a time of self-serving, self-centered, entitlement culture that has flooded and mesmerized the church world, what will it take for us to come to our senses, take a good, honest look at who we are and what we were created for, recognizing all that Christ had done for us, putting our agenda aside that we might hear what the Spirit is saying to us in this moment of time that is so critical for the kingdom of God. Every church that was addressed in Asia by John the Revelator through the revelation of God Almighty was given a stern warning to him that has an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Listen, church, if you're trying to convince yourself that the message was only to the seven churches of Asia, you best think again. For that message is just as real and just as critical right now as it was then. And maybe even more so, because the last chapter of the book is closing. Hear me. The last chapter of that book is closing. The difference is today you're the audience and you're the listeners as you hear the word that I speak. Anyone with any understanding at all knows that no one here can listen to this message wants to be left here with the consequences of the book of Revelation that I just talked about. So I urge you today, listen, it's not a recommend. It's a privilege of promotion. It's stepping up to the plate. It's reaching out to God, saying, God, I want to accept what you have invested in me. Mold me, make me, oh God. Would you stand with me all over the building today?